The views expressed on the following program are designed to amplify those of the speaker and are not necessarily those of KAAM, DJRD Broadcasting, or its sponsors.
And now for something completely different.
Here's what's coming up this hour on Today's Experience. It's Wonderfulness Wednesday, as we have prevailed through the middle point of the week. And with confidence, we're going to have a strong finish. Yeah. First up, we address a major problem that we all seem to have with ourselves. Uh-oh. Next, we inspect the battleground of the left lobe and the right lobe and look at the land in between. And finally, we pick up two swords that will help us and lead us to the victory that's in Jesus, our Savior, forever.
David Spoon's life has been an experience. While growing up in a Jewish family, he made a wrong turn towards drug abuse. Then David Spoon found Jesus Christ, and his life completely changed. The more he studied the gospel, the more he wanted to share his experiences with others. After 35 years of ministry, David discovered a new path of service. He joined KAAM, and this radio program began. You're about to hear the David Spoon Experience.
Welcome to the David Spoon Experience, local, national, and heavenly talk. Here's what else we're looking at during the show. Lessons for surviving, living, and prevailing. Now, some of you out there right now, you are surviving. You are hanging on. I will tell you right now that Jesus is closer than you think he is. When Peter started to sink in the water, Jesus was how close? He stretched out his hand and pulled Peter up. He was so close. So for those of you that are going through that surviving mode, don't you worry. The Lord is with you. And for others, living and prevailing, kind of getting, instead of bobbing up and down on the water, which is kind of like treading water, you want to start living, get up a little bit above the water. And prevailing is walking on top of the water. Get it? Politics, entertainment, and current events, personal revelations, spiritual observations, my life's insanities, and oy vey, so much more. How much more? Just a lot. We're asking you, what do you think? You're welcome to call us, 972-445-0770. That's 972-445-0770. Our wonderful T is right there waiting, just waiting. If that phone rings, yeah, gotcha. You ever see that, you ever go to a carnival and see the whack-a-mole? You ever see whack-a-mole? Those are like classics, right?
I mean, yes, I think it's like it helps get your anger out, because yeah. Once you see, you just can just
smack it on the head. That's like T right there on the phone. She's got it. It's like whack-a-mole. Bam, bam, bam. She's
going to get it. Smash it.
She's going to get it.
Not really.
Okay. 972-445-0770. You can also text here at 214-210-8483. That's 214-210-8483. Here's the first question. Ready? 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 Okay. All right. What killed the plant that God had provided for Jonah for shade? Not who, what. Get it? That's your hint. Not who, what. 214-210-8483 if you want to text. You're also welcome to call us. Keep in mind, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, creatures of all ages and sizes, that any topic is open for conversation, because it's not professional radio, it's just radio. It's a cross between Steve Martin, Sean Hannity, and Focus on the Family, the David Spoon Experience. So buckle up, little campers. Here we go. I'm going to give you a challenge that I've not given to you before. So I've had emails and texts and certain people communicate to me in the last 48 hours. And some people are going through a tough time. I mean, things are not always as smooth as you want them to be. So I'm just asking you as an audience for tomorrow and Friday, for 2 days, just tomorrow and Friday, okay? Does it take you 10, 15 seconds a day? Just pray for the audience. You don't have to pray for me. You don't have to pray for T, although you should be praying for T. You don't have to pray for Jennifer. You don't have to pray for Don, who owns the station. Just pray for the audience, the people that are listening. Just pray for them that the Lord would encourage and strengthen them. Just make that commitment in your heart. You can do it. If you fail to do it and then you get remembered or you're reminded somehow by the Lord, then just pray right then and there. And pray for them, for their wellness, for their strength, and that the Lord would bless and encourage them. That's all. just a couple of seconds, won't take very much time. I know you guys can do it. I have a lot of confidence in you. So pray for one another. This part of that whole love one another. By this shall all men know you are my disciples, by your love for one another. Isn't that what it says? That's exactly what it says in John 13:35. Okay, let's talk about today just a little bit. Today is Iced Tea Day. I'm not a huge fan of iced tea. Do you like iced tea? I'm not, you know.
The actual drink or the actual, yeah, like
No. Not the rubber. The iced tea, the drink, the beverage. I mean,
yes, so I like the flavored ones. I just don't like the regular
tea. The regular tea. Okay, you're just like I am. It's like, what? It's water with a little tinge in it. It's like water that came out of a rusty pipe.
Exactly. With like some lemon and sugar. It's might as well just call it lemonade.
Yeah, okay. Okay. T and I are together on iced tea. There you go. Ballpoint pen day. Pretty soon that'll be a thing of the past. It's also National Urban Spice Day. That's good because I like spices whenever we barbecue. I put a lot of different spices on there. And it's Black Cow Day. And for those who don't know what a black cow is, it's a root beer float in reverse. Instead of vanilla ice cream with root beer, it's chocolate ice cream with root beer. It's called Black Cow. Did you know that?
Oh, no. I thought you were actually talking about the cows. I didn't know it was a
Chocolate milk does not come from chocolate cows. I'm just going to say that right now.
You just ruined my childhood.
Look at T. She's just having a good time. That's what we want. All right. 1752 on this day, Benjamin Franklin flew a kite. And this is reportedly the day in 1752 in which the lightning struck the kite. Nobody's ever really explained that to me, because if lightning struck that kite and went down and touched where his key was, I think he would have been shot backwards, but that's just me. Also on this day in 1924, first radio broadcast of the National Presidential Convention, the Republican Convention in Cleveland, Ohio. And then finally, we just did the other day about the shortest baseball player. Here's the youngest baseball player in 1944, 15-year-old Joe Nuxall. Played in a Major League Baseball game, 15 years old. What? 15. At 15, I'm pretty sure I was still thinking, you know, Starsky and Hutch were cool. You know, I don't know. That's amazing to me.
I was
me.
Reading Twilight books at 15.
Yeah, I mean, it's like, what? This guy's playing Major League Baseball? But I don't know if it was a long career, because I didn't hear much after that. All right, let's get into it. I want to talk to you a little bit about A Bug's Life. Okay, Bug's Life, and what does that mean? Don't forget our one question that's on there. For those that might not have heard it, I'll repeat it for you. You can text me at this point, 214-210-8483. What killed the plant that God had provided Jonah for shade? He'd given him some shade, but then he sent something. You got to let me know what it was that he sent that wiped out the plant. What typically plants get wiped out by. There you go. All right, here's the problem. The problem is for you and I, we do a lot of what Israel did. And you don't want to admit it because it doesn't sound good. And I want to be careful here because I don't want you to get the impression at any point, I don't think I've ever given the impression that I am a name it and claim it kind of teacher, or that I am the kind of teacher that will say, you know, only positive, only positive, only positive. I don't think in those terms. But I do think that Scripture is quite clear that there are some things that we are supposed to avoid in our thinking process, and I will read to you what I think they are, okay? This is in Numbers chapter 13. This is verse 26. These are the people that came back with the report after they spied out the land. They came back to Moses and Aaron and the whole Israelite community at Kadesh in the desert of Paran, and they reported to them and the whole assembly, and they showed them the fruit of the land. They gave this account. We went into the land to which you sent us, and it does flow with milk and honey. Here is the fruit. But the people who live there are powerful, and the cities are fortified and very large. We even saw descendants of Anak there. So the people were like, there's just like big people there. And so this is where Caleb speaks up and Joshua speaks up and says, we can do it. We can take the land. But in verse 32, listen to what they said. These are the 10 other spies. They spread among the Israelites a bad report about the land they explored. They said, the land we explored devours those living in it, and all the people we saw there are of great size. We saw the Nephilim and the descendants of Anak that come from the Nephilim, and we seemed like grasshoppers in our own eyes, and we looked the same to them. That's the key. Bada bada bing, broom, broom, boom, ding. What do you mean? Well, The children of Israel went to explore the land. It was the land that God was giving them. The land was fantastic. It had milk and honey. They had such big fruit, they had to carry it on poles. It was like, wow, fantastic. But they said, but there's some really big people there. There's an obstacle in the way. Not a popsicle, an obstacle. And the people were starting to freak out. And then you have Caleb, and it's like, come on, we can do this. And Joshua, we can do this. But the people were like, look, we looked at these people. These people were giants. We seemed like grasshoppers in our own eyes. That's it. When you see yourself as a grasshopper, you are putting into your scenario defeat before you start. When you see yourself as a bug, okay? Now, It's a Bug Life was a good movie, okay? But if you see yourself as that bug, you don't have that great sense of conquering. You don't have that great sense of overcoming. You don't have that great sense of anything. You're not a bug. You're not a grasshopper. But that's what the enemy comes and throws at you. I double-checked the book about 15,000 times. You're a child of the Most High God, not a grasshopper. I'll give you an example of what happened. It just happened to me in the last 72 hours. In my PhD, there are some people that write so much better than I do. And I talk pretty well, but they write excellent, okay? And I was thinking, well, what am I going to contribute? But then I made one point, and the professor took that one point and made everybody else respond to it. And now everybody is kind of mad at me because I brought up this one point. And they're all like, now they all have to respond to it. And it's like, look, I'm no grasshopper. I'm a child of the Most High God. My point of view matters. My opinion matters. My insights matter. Now, they don't matter when you stack them up next to God. So let's not be goofy about this. But when we're engaging with one another, and when you're engaging in the things that God has set before you, you're not a grasshopper. You're a child of God. And for you to take on the mentality of a grasshopper means you have grasshopper theology. Your theology is you're a grasshopper and God can't do much with a grasshopper. Well, first of all, he can do much with a grasshopper. That's one thing. But you're not. You're chosen of God. Have you read Isaiah 43:10? I have chosen you. I mean, that's like, wow. God selected you. Because he likes you and he loves you and he wants to hang out with you. And you are not a grasshopper. Nay to the grasshopper. Nay to the grasshopper. You are a child of the Most High God. We've discussed this before and we'll discuss it again and do it as many times as it takes until we get it right. By the way, what killed the plant that God provided for Jonah for shade? It was a worm. Just in case you want to know. And you are not a worm. Remember that. You're listening to the David Spoon Experience right here. On KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. Short break, we'll be back.
Hey, here's something your insurance company doesn't want you to know. Some restoration companies have signed contracts with the insurance companies to get more business. At Mr. Restore, we don't participate in any insurance contracts because we believe they're a conflict of interest. Mr. Restore works for you and will always look out for your best interests. So, when you have fire, smoke, water, or flood damage, use the restoration company that's in your corner. Learn more at MrRestore.com.
Back to normal like you were before. If you have fire, water, damage, call Mr. Restore.
What is the David Spoon Experience?
Jesus Christ as the Lamb of God for you and I. God provided his own burnt offering, his own lamb of sacrifice, because our presentations are not that hot. And this is where you get the understanding that the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. All have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. How many? All. And the wages of sin is death. That's the result. But the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. And God showed his love for us while we were still sinners that Christ died for us. That's the love. He was the sacrificial lamb. And if you have never made that decision, I invite you right now to make that decision to acknowledge Jesus Christ as Lord. If you declare with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. And this is where you get John 3:16, which people will say is the gospel in a scripture, which is not far off. For God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. That gift is available for you. And if you have never exercised that acceptance of that gift, I encourage you to do so by saying this prayer. And don't go anywhere, because I got another one for all of us. Heavenly Father, I surrender my life. Lord Jesus Christ, I give you my heart. Pour out your Holy Spirit, for I believe you rose from the dead, and I confess with my mouth you died for my sins according to the scriptures. You were buried, and 3 days later you rose again. You ascended to the Father and are coming back soon, and I thank you for this new life you've given me. I praise you and pray this in your name. Amen. If you prayed that prayer for the first time, you are now a Christian. Welcome back to the David Spoon Experience. Thank you for joining us here at KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. I do want to let you know, if you want to reach us, 214-210-8483. That's 214-210-8483. That's the text. The phone number, 972-445-0770, 972-445-0770. The first trivia question came up and went away, and that was, what killed the plant that God had provided for Jonah for shade? It was a worm, okay? Keeping in line with the It's a Bug's Life theme. See how we do that?
Very clever.
Yeah, that was pretty good. That wasn't too bad. Here's the next trivia question. What was Peter's mother-in-law sick with? So Jesus and the gang, let's just call it Jesus and the gang. It's kind of like the Little Rascals kind of thing. And Jesus and the gang went to Peter's mother-in-law's house. She was sick. What was her sickness? 214-210-8483, or you can call 972-445-0770 to respond to that. Also, I want to remind you about our website, hemustincrease.org, hemustincrease.org. We want to thank the people that gave in the last 24 hours. We appreciate it very much. You know who you are, and we thank you for that. And if you're in a place where you can give and help and kind of, you know, participate, we think that's great. We just don't want to guilt you into that. I'm not into that. If the Lord puts it on your heart, great, do it. If he puts it on your heart to give somewhere else, do that. If he puts it on your heart not to give to anything, don't. I mean, just follow the Lord, because when you stand before the Lord, as you will stand before the Lord, and it won't be for salvation, but it will be you still standing before the Lord. There are still rewards to be given. And he has any review with you. It's not your ability to point somewhere else and go, he did it, she did it, they did it. Okay, Adam and Eve did that. They got kicked out of the garden. Doesn't work that way. Got to take responsibility. The Lord has put it on your heart, you do it. If he doesn't put it on your heart, you don't do it. But you do it between you and the Lord. That's where that stuff should be. As much as everybody wants to make a theology out of it, I think it's appropriate to give, and I do think the principle giving sparingly reaps sparingly, giving bountifully reaps bountifully, but I think there's just way too much yuck in it. You give and you sow into the kingdom and you watch and see what it does for the kingdom of God, and maybe the Lord will show you the results of that, but you give it in faith and you give it to the Lord. All right, so if you want to do that, you go to hemustincrease.org, hemustincrease.org. The email, david@hemustincrease.org, Facebook, He Must Increase Ministry, YouTube, He Must Increase Ministry. And now I'm going to have Tierra play a marathon of our ministry partners.
Here I come to save the day. Yes, sir, when there is a wrong to right, he gets the situation well in hand.
Well, we're moving on.
All All right, so Tierra nails it. Good job. Thank you very much. So we just want to give props to Mr. Restore, and we want to give props to Men of God Moving, and we want to give props to Kimberly Ellis. Okay, Mr. Restore, as you know, Mr. Restore is for restoration for fire and water damage, sewage removal, other restoration services. Men of God Moving is for moving. I mean, this is not, you know, it's not rocket science. My brother works for JPL. I've told you guys this before. He works for JPL. He actually wrote the code that went for the Land Rover that went to Mars. Okay, so he's a rocket scientist. So when I said to him, "What keeps everything in the gravitational pull?" He said, "It's the 23.5 degrees between the moon and the Earth, or 3 gerbils in a cage. One of those two. We can't quite figure it out." So anyway, Mystery Story, then Men of God Moving, and then Kimberly Ellis with Fathom Realty. Kimberly Ellis does a fantastic job working with people, and we encourage you, if you want to touch base with any of those people, to go to hemustincrease.org, click on it, and you'll connect to them. There you go. There you go. All right, question on the board. We got people already answering. I'm going to wait and give the answer at the end of this segment. What was Peter's mother-in-law sick with when Jesus and the gang visited her? In the very first segment, we talked very briefly about the spies that went out to look at the promised land that God had granted them. I'm not spending a ton of time on that, because that is its own little message and sermon. The spies going out to the land that God had promised them, and they come back with a bad report, which is a dumb idea. Watch. Dumb idea. If God says this is really good, probably not genius to go, this is really bad. I don't know. Just call me nuts. Anyway, so the problem in this, though, and part of their difficulty, was that they saw themselves as grasshoppers. Now, I'm going to ask you a question, and you're going to have to answer it in your own way, in your own heart, in your own mind. But where would these guys get the idea that they were like grasshoppers to the big people? Okay, now let me help out real quickly. There were no posters. Okay. No internet, no radio, as sad as that is, no television. Where in their system would they get this picture that they were grasshoppers? 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 3 through 5, "For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh, for the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ." In their minds, they saw themselves and the picture of themselves as grasshoppers. Guess what that put in them? Fear, and they could not move forward and accomplish anything. Remember Proverbs 23:7, as a man thinks within himself, so is he. So these guys are thinking, we're grasshoppers, we can't do anything. Squeak, 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 squeak. And the enemy used it against them, used it against us. 2 Corinthians 11:3. "I fear lest by any means that the serpent beguiled Eve through his subtlety, your minds should be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ." Paul was writing, and as the Holy Spirit is leading him through the verbal plenary process, he's like, "I'm concerned that your minds are going to get warped by Satan." That's what he said. And what happens is you get these pictures or these thoughts about you, degraded, unable to stand, not a child of the Most High God, just a grasshopper in this situation, and the situation is too big for you to encounter, even if it's connected to the promise of God. Could you imagine if Abraham thought of himself in such a way? He would have had no faith. God said, "Here's a promise." Abraham said, "Okay." You know where their evidence was? There was no evidence. He didn't actually get the real evidence for the fulfillment for 25 years. And in the meantime, he had Ishmael, which was like 13 years later. And it's like the whole process was like forever and a day. And in the process, Abraham said, "I believe, I believe, I believe, I believe, I believe, I believe." And you think, well, that's just radical faith. No, that's just faith. Faith is saying God not only can, but he will. This isn't believing that God can do it. Everybody thinks God can do it. But do you have faith that God will do it? You got to move yourself out of the grasshopper syndrome. If God has something that he's promised for you, if he's got land for you, if there's new territory and there's obstacles, welcome to life. Congratulations. Somebody has cut the umbilical cord. Congratulations. That is a part of life. But in that process of life, God has made a promise. In that process of the promise, God is not going to abandon you. But if you abandon yourself, if you abandon the truth of God, if you abandon what God has promised, hey, kind of building it yourself. Remember that guy? Remember that Jesus tells the story, and we were getting into this in our class, but remember Jesus told the story about the talent, and he gives the talent, one guy talents, gives another guy talent, gives another guy talent, and the other two, they do pretty good. One trades five, gets five. One has two, gets two. And then the other one's like, what'd you do with it? He goes, I buried it. I was afraid, he said. Get it? He was afraid. So he buried it, did nothing with it, just covered it in dirt. Maybe I'll just get whatever it was I was originally received. It's not the way to do it. It's not the way to go about it. And what's amazing about fear is that it's an immobilizer. It stops you from doing stuff. Right? It stops you from taking the risk. I always think about this. I have a whole teaching system, it's not a system, but a teaching sermons on this, like part one, part two, part three. I always think about Peter in the boat. He's in the boat, and he's like, Jesus is on the water, and then Jesus is walk out of the water. Peter goes, well, if it's really you, let me come on the water. Jesus goes, okay. And then Peter had to take his foot and his leg and put it over the side of the boat and step on the water. Like, what a moment, you know? It's like, there's an old Jewish joke. Should we tell him where the rocks are? I mean, it's like he has no idea what's about to happen. He's walking on the water. I mean, how fantastic is that? That's what faith does. Faith takes you to that next place. And you think, well, maybe that almost seems like miraculous. Okay. You mean like our God who created the universe, who chose you, who loves you, who works with you, does everything in your best interests, cares about you, watches over you? Kind of miraculous. Yeah, I go yes. I agree. That's nothing. Wait till we come back. This next part is so cool. I really think you're going to like it. I will tell you the answer. What was Peter's mother-in-law sick with? A fever. Jesus cast out the fever. You're thinking a fever? He didn't just give her aspirin? No. Cast out the fever. All right, folks, you're listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. Short break. We'll be back.
Moving is hard. It's a moment that everyone dreads. But wait, there's an answer. Jesus can help. And for the moving parts, Men of God Moving is there for you. Men of God Moving is a full-service Christian moving company that is locally owned and operated, serving the entire Dallas and Fort Worth area. Men of God Moving helps with homes, apartments, offices, long and short distance relocations, and so much more. They offer packing and unpacking services, loading and unloading, assembling and disassembling, plus many other helpful services. Tell them you heard it on the David Spoon Experience and receive a substantial discount. Substantial means a whole bunch. Call them at 817-707-7672 or go to their website, menofgodmoving.com. That's menofgodmoving.com. And check them out on Facebook. The Lord's Word says, serve wholeheartedly as if you were serving the Lord, not men. Ephesians 6:7. Allow Men of God Moving the privilege of serving you. And listen to Johnny Hill, the owner, often on the David Spoon Experience. To hear his testimony, reach out to Men of God Moving. Johnny's testimony will move you. God bless.
What is the David Spoon Experience?
Now listen, I've done a lot of interviews, and every once in a while you do an interview with somebody who's legendary. And he doesn't even know why he's legendary. And when I tell him, he's going to go, whoa, whoa, whoa. The legendary Josh McDowell with us, co-authoring the book with his son, Sean, The Beauty of Intolerance, joins us live. Josh, are you there with us?
It's sure better to join you live than dead.
I love it.
The David Spoon Experience.
Get your real estate agents here on sale. Only a dime a dozen. Step right up and get your agents.
What's going on here?
Real estate agents are in bloom here in Texas, so they're being offered only a dime a dozen.
Is this how real estate agents seem to you? A dime a dozen? Well, that's enough. Kimberly McQuinn, Realtor and Broker Associate with Fathom Realty, is not a dime a dozen real estate agent. Real estate isn't her hobby, it's her passion. With over 12 years of experience, Kimberly knows real estate isn't about selling, it's about the relationships. Get a free consultation by reaching out to Kimberly at turn2realtyteam.com. That's turn2realtyteam.com. Or call 903-484-6637. That's 903-48-HOMES. Whether you're a first-time home buyer or an experienced investor, whether you need a short sale or are looking for foreclosures, Kimberly is the quality you want and deserve for your real estate needs. Don't get the dime a dozen agent. Turn to the best. Turn to Kimberly.
Welcome back to the David Spoon Experience. Thank you for joining us here at KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. Don't forget, livinginhisgrip.com is a place where you can get some of our intro and exit music for free under the Hymn Project, just in case you wanted to know that. A couple things that I want to run in your direction. As you know, I've told you you can either text or you can email or whatever the case may be in order to reach out to us for prayer requests, for praise reports. I do want to say that somebody sent in an email while during the show and wanted all of our audience to pray. She said, please ask everyone, so I have permission to do that, ask everyone to pray for my mom, Mary. She's having a lot of health issues, which is very miserable, and that's also causing emotional problems as well. So let's take a moment, just pray, because we're believers, and we believe that not just only when two or three gather together that he's in the midst, but whatever we ask he'll do, and that's within the framework of his will, and we bring it to him, and people say, well, was this going to absolutely happen? I sure hope so. That's why you pray. You have that optimistic confidence that God will, and we're asking him to do so. So let's come to the Lord in prayer in agreement. Father, we come before you right now in the name of Jesus Christ with help from the Holy Spirit, and we pray for Mary because she's having quite a few health issues, and we ask you, as you are Jehovah Rapha, the God that heals, that you would touch her and strengthen her and raise her up. And in that process, she's also having some real emotional struggle with that, and we're asking you that the peace that passes all understanding, that keeps people's minds and hearts in you, that will fall upon Mary, and she will have a restfulness on the inside, and that she will have a touch and healing on the outside. We surrender this to you. We ask for your graciousness in this situation. We ask you to move forward and give us an opportunity to share about this again in a way that is a testimony that will bless people. Please, we ask you, Father, in the name of Jesus, with help from the Holy Spirit, please touch Mary inside and out. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, so just so you know, we do that. Why do we do that? Well, collectively, our faith is better than individually. And that's, I think there's nothing really complex about that. I'll say it this way. If I have an ounce of Jesus and you have an ounce of Jesus and T has an ounce of Jesus and Jennifer has an ounce of Jesus, put those four together, it's 4 ounces of Jesus. See, that's just how I would say it. And so we ask. And we surrender it to the Lord. Keep in mind, if you want to, by the way, reach out to our show, 214-210-8483. That's 214-210-8483 for those that want to text. Also 972-445-0770. Here's the next trivia question. What kind of leaves, as in flower, plant, leaves, did Adam and Eve sew together to make clothing for themselves? What kind of leaves did Adam and Eve sew together to make clothing for themselves? Interesting. 214-210-8483 is the number to text. 972-445-0770. Don't forget our website, humusincrease.org. Email david@hemusincrease.org, which is where this person, they just filled out the form and it came right to me. Facebook, He Must Increase Ministry. YouTube, He Must Increase Ministry. Let's get to the next section. In the very first segment, very first numero uno segment, we talked about grasshopper theology. Grasshopper theology is when you see yourself as a grasshopper. We're not trying to tell you that you should see yourself as the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Don't get weird on us. What we're trying to say simply is that too many people allow this grasshopper image to be who they are. And God didn't make you a grasshopper. You're not a grasshopper. You're a child of the Most High God. Of all of his creation, man and woman were the finest of everything he did on the earth. Now, beyond the earth, I don't know. But here's what I do know. Man and women, and I love that, and my wife will tell you this statement is true. God did his greatest creation. He made man, and then he went one better and made a woman. That's what my wife says. Here's the bottom line. The bottom line is that the enemy uses those kind of pictures where you think of yourself as a grasshopper. He uses that against you. And he builds a fortress in your mind and puts a portrait in your mind that you're a grasshopper. You'll never do anything. You'll never overcome. You'll never defeat the enemy. You'll never get the promise of God. You'll never prevail. And that's where he wants to keep you. Well, that's what he does. But what is the truth? Because if the truth sets you free, and it's got to be the truth that comes from Jesus, not just any truth. It's not 2 + 2 = 4 doesn't set you free from drugs. Jesus sets you free from drugs. Got it? Got that difference? All right. 1 John chapter 3, verse 1 through 2. See what great love the Father has lavished on us that we should be called the children of God. And that is what we are. The reason the world does not know us is that it did not know him. Dear friends, now we are children of God, and what we will be has not yet been made known, but we know that when Christ appears, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. What you get in 1 John chapter 3 is three times that John, through the verbal plenary process of the Holy Spirit, says, we are the children of God. You're not a grasshopper. You're a child of the Most High King, the creator of the universe. I know that people think that their world is the center of the universe, and then the arrogant secular humanists think that the earth is the center of the universe. I just can't even figure that out for the life of me, which even from an astronomy point of view wouldn't be true. But the true believers know that God's throne is the center of the universe. That's where it is. And he who rules from the center of the universe has selected you to be one of his children. You're not a grasshopper. The precious blood of Jesus Christ was spent to redeem you from your sins. How much value do you really have? Greater than all the gold and the silver, according to God. Not according to man, but according to God. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9. You are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's special possession, that you may declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his wonderful light. Don't let the enemy, and don't let the world, and don't let your flesh reduce you to anything less than the child of God that you are. What was it that Satan said to Jesus in the temptations? If you are the Son of God. If you are. Well, if he said it to Jesus, don't you think he's going to say it to you? If you're really a child of God, you wouldn't have any sin. Now, see, but that's where Jesus redeemed me from all of my failures. That's what forgiveness is all about. That's what grace is all about. That's what mercy is all about. I mean, there you have to understand, there's no process of forgiveness if there's not a transgression. This is one of the things that people miss. You can't have forgiveness unless something is wronged. I mean, it's not possible. And God is a God of forgiveness. He's a God of comfort. He's a God of mercy. Can't have mercy unless something needs to be judged. God of grace. Can't have unmerited favor unless if you're able to deserve it, you wouldn't have a grace, an unmerited favor. We get unmerited favor. Why? Because we can't earn it. Just think about these things, and the enemy comes against you and tries to reduce you, and think of these things that God says about you. Now, who's right? Satan or God? Who's right? The world or God? Who's right? Your flesh or God? Make a choice. This is the war between the left lobe and the right lobe. It's all that all that vast space land between the left and the right lobe. It's somewhere between above and below your eyes, a little bit above your mouth, a little bit below your hair. That's the frontier. That's where the kingdom of heaven and the kingdom of darkness war against it, and you make a decision. And that decision is for you to choose for the kingdom of God and every decision you can make. And some of that starts with what you think of yourself or what God thinks of you. You're going to believe what God thinks of you. You're going to believe what Satan says about you. And you got to choose. Listen to what David. I love King David. Now, look, he's got my name. I wish I could say it was named after a king. It ain't true. I think it was like a second grandfather, third up the line, something. I don't know who knows. But I tell people it's a king because that's, you know. 1 Samuel 17:44-47. David said to the Philistine, "You come against me with sword and spear and javelin. I come against you in the name of the Lord Almighty, the God of the armies of Israel, whom you have defiled. This day the Lord will deliver you into my hands, and I will strike you down and cut off your head. This very day I will give the carcasses of the Philistine army to the birds and the wild animals, and the whole world will know there is a God in Israel." Yaza! And for those that don't know the full story with David and Goliath, the Bible says that David ran towards Goliath. Whoa! Now, I'm going to tell you right now, some guy that's, you know, 7 feet tall, I might have a... I played basketball with Kurt Rambis. I don't know if you know who that guy is. That doesn't matter. T is looking at me like, who? Who? He's the guy with the funny glasses. He had these funny glasses. He worked with the Lakers. He's 7'2". It doesn't matter. Maybe 7'1.5".
I'll look it up if you want me to.
No, I don't want you to look it up. You know, I'm telling you, these are the age things that kill me. Anyway, so I played that. I had to really think before I went in, and just to let everybody know, I stepped back behind the 3-point line and swished it right in front of him. 1 of 55. Anyway, the point is, going in was a bad idea. He was only 7 foot. How about if you're 9.5 feet? That's how big Goliath was. Right in, David. I'm a child of the Most High God. You're about to go down. I mean, that is just cool. How is that not cool? I can't believe you don't know who Kurt Rambis is. You're killing me. You're killing me. All right. The answer, by the way, what is it that Adam and Eve sewed together to make clothes for themselves? The fig leaf, the fig leaves. I don't think that was a very good-looking outfit, I'm assuming, which is probably why God refitted them. All right, we're going to take a break and come back. You're listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. Short break. We'll be back.
Can't stand the skill, can't stand the shame.
The David Spoon Experience is now run by He Must Increase Ministry. What this means is that we are no longer operating as a regular business, but as a nonprofit ministry that is devoted to increasing the ministry of Jesus Christ. Our mission is to educate, encourage, and entertain Bible believers, the wounded and forgotten believers, and the not yet believers through biblical truths. We are funded by listeners like yourselves and ministry partners that want to provide sponsorships for the show. Your donations are 100% tax deductible. And the great news is, if you donate to our ministry and help us advance the kingdom of God, we won't give you a thing. That's right, you'll get no special prize or gimmick. You won't ever get an anointed Bible or penny in acrylic so that you're never penniless, or a guarantee that you'll become rich just because you gave. Your giving will support our unique idea of biblical encouragement. And what you'll receive is a receipt for your giving at the end of the year. It's all about sowing and reaping. Cast your bread upon the water and it will return to you. And if you sow bountifully, you will reap bountifully. But you'll be laying up treasures in heaven, and that's the most excellent place to receive the best return for the longest time on your investment. What happens if you don't give? Nothing, except more commercials like this one. Let's spare everyone from more commercials like this one. Go to hemustincrease.org. That's hemustincrease.org. And give if you're led to and if you're able to. Let's keep the show going and help increase its time and reach. You must like this show a little bit because, after all, you're hearing this commercial, right? Thank you.
What is the David Spoon Experience?
John 7:24, stop judging by mere appearance and make a right judgment. That's all good. From 1 Corinthians 6:2, do you not know that the saints will judge the world? And if you are to judge the world, are you not competent to judge trivial cases? You can't say Christians can't judge. They're commanded to. Here it is right here. Ready? Here's the bowling ball knocking down the pins. Every day as Christians, we have to judge what is appropriate, proper, healthy, and useful. Also, what people we believe we should hang out with, trust, believe in, or let influence, we have to judge that on a regular basis. When you choose your church, you're using your judgment abilities.
Bazinga.
I love that. Because listen, when you're choosing your church, you have to decide to pick one over another. Oh, here's the key. You're going to hate me. Ready? Here it is. If we have no ability to judge, we can't vote. There's something wrong with that guy. Let me just say that. Welcome back to the David Spoon Experience. Thank you for joining us here at KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. Some people are trying to figure out, well, why do you play those same things over and over again? Why aren't there a bunch of new ones? Well, first of all, I'm the only one doing that. I have to cut it and edit it and send it and then get it to Jennifer. And it's been just a little bit busy of late, but I promise. You know, where it says he has almost 5 grandkids, I have 6. You know, there's all those little things, 35 years of ministry, it's 40. You know, I got to change these things. But I know, I'll get there. Just be patient, you know. I mean, that's, you know, one of the things you got to do. I know you're not a doctor, but try and be patient, okay? All right, thank you very much. Okay, the next trivia question that is going to be coming up on the board. Here is the next one, and let me just say a couple things. You can reach out to us, 214-210-8483. You're always welcome to do that. You can call 972-445-0770 during the show, because if you call at 301, hey, you might get Domino's. How can I help you? Because you're not going to get anything else. Don't forget our website, by the way, hemustincrease.org, hemustincrease.org. Email David at hemustincrease.org. Facebook, He Must Increase Ministry. YouTube, He Must Increase Ministry. I'm getting ready to give the trivia question, but I got a quick question for T. Ready? Quick question for T. Have you ever seen the movie? She's already laughing. Have you ever seen the movie Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventure?
No.
Have you ever heard of it?
No.
You know, I used to like you. Just want to point that out.
I'll do my research.
No, you don't got to do research. This is so funny because in my posting today in my PhD class, somebody said something and I responded, a most excellent answer. And then I said, be excellent to one another. And anybody that saw that movie understands. I don't know how much you'd like it. It's, you know, it's older school, as in old, you know, it's like, what was funny in the 70s and 80s is not always funny now, though. I mean, I don't know if you noticed
that. I can have a good laugh. It might be funny.
The second one was terrible. The Bogus Adventure was terrible. But the first one was pretty fun. I'm not telling people to go out and see the movie. Go see the movie. Anyway, all right. trivia question. Here you go. Very simple. What does good like medicine? Okay? There's a Proverbs. What does good like medicine? And this isn't the supercalifragilisticexpialidocious. This isn't the spoonful of sugar makes the medicine go down. This is scripture, Proverbs. What does good like medicine? If you know that answer, text 214-210-8483, or you're welcome to call us at 972-445-0770. So, and then just to let people know, if you text in and ask on a topic or whatever, I usually will get to that. You know, it takes me a day or two to kind of work it into the system. Tomorrow, by the way, we're still doing biblical slavery, and then we're going to do the offshoot on what happened between that and America. Not the prettiest thing in the world. Just you can't escape it, and I don't see any reason not to just deal with it and be honest about it. So we're going to deal with that tomorrow because it's in our next portion in Ephesians. That's what we do. All right, here we go. Let's see. Where am I at? What am I doing? So we're talking about Better Than a Bug's Life. So in the very beginning, we talked about the problem of us thinking of ourselves as grasshoppers. And we really need to not think along those lines. This is absolutely absurd. You're a child of the Most High God. And that's the enemy that probably is in first place that really fights against us in that. And then in second place is the world. And in third place is usually the flesh. Now, having said that, I'm well aware that some people have a bigger fight with the world than they do with the enemy. I'm not trying to say that's the only way it can go, but it does seem like Satan is the instigator, the world is the promoter, and the flesh is the cementer in many of these type of cases. So the idea then is for us to break past that kind of goofiness, okay, and walk in the truth that we are children of God, that we are a special people, a holy nation, dedicated and devoted to the Lord and connected to the Lord. And it's a fantastic grace that he's granted us. And we come to things in the name of the Lord, relying on the Lord God to deliver us. And that's the truth. But you need to have something that goes with the truth. That's the two swords that I'm talking about. And what comes along with the truth? Here's Hebrews 4:12. For the word of God is alive and powerful. It's sharper than any two-edged sword. See, sword going both ways. Cutting between soul and spirit, between joint and marrow, and exposes the innermost thoughts and desires. It's really important for us to understand that the word of God is living and alive and active. But it doesn't help you if you don't mix it with faith. And this is the key. The word of God did not help those in many people in the Old Testament because they didn't receive it and process it by faith. And what they think is, well, I've heard the word of God, but I don't have to mix it with anything. That's not true. Truth and faith mix together to make growth and miracles. I think miracle, what is it, miracle grow? Miracle grow. I mean, it's like, that's it. Truth and faith make Christian miracle grow. There you go. Why? Because it says in Romans 8:37, no, despite all these things, overwhelming victory is ours through Christ who loved us. What kind of victory? Overwhelming victory. How about 4:13 in Philippians? I can do everything through Christ who gives me strength. How about nothing is impossible to him that believes? How about I am with you always, even to the end of the age? How about all the things that the Lord promises? And how about we take just a spoonful of faith? As you know, you only need a mustard seed. A spoonful of faith. That's right, I said spoon because my last name is Spoon. A spoonful of faith, and you put it with the truth, and you see this thing, this Christian miracle grow, and it's a Christian miracle growth, and you see God on your behalf. Isn't that fantastic? It's so great. And Jesus is like, you know, if you guys had a mustard seed of this, all this stuff I'm telling you, if you just had a mustard seed, nothing would be impossible for you. You'd be able to prevail. You'd be walking hand in hand with God. You'd be connected. And some of us, we get to the beginning part of the week or the middle part of the week or the end part of the week, and we're tired and we're exhausted, whatever. But you know, here's one amazing thing. The scripture in Colossians says that God gives our bodies, listen to this, the word is energeo from the Greek. Guess what we get from that word? Take a wild stab at energeo. Maybe energy? I don't know. And it's like, come on, God will give you energy. That's why those that wait on the Lord will renew their strength. because he lifts you up. But you got to have a spoonful of faith and mix it with the truth. Now, there's a lot of truth in Jesus Christ, but you just need a spoonful of faith to make the diff. And you're thinking, well, sometimes it's hard. Yes, I agree. Some days it's easier than others. Some days it's harder than others. Here's the answer. So what? You still have to have a spoonful of faith, and you got to mix it with the truth, and then you'll get Christian Miracle-Gro. Boom. I really like that, that Christian Miracle-Gro. I gotta. Probably can't patent that. Probably not. That's probably wouldn't that work?
It's worth. I mean, you can try. It's worth a try.
Okay, I'll look into it. Here's the bottom line. The bottom line is you're not a grasshopper. You're a child of the Most High God. Don't act like a grasshopper. Jesus' blood did not save grasshoppers. It saved you. He paid the price for you. And his power, his active power in this universe is in your life. He saved you, didn't he? So it's active. You already know that's true. And sometimes we need to activate it and keep it going. It's almost like you got to turn the hose on or whatever the case may be. And yeah, I know that these are just, oh, Dave, you're just trying to encourage us. Okay, sue me. I'm trying to encourage you. But the idea here is for you to understand, go forward in the Lord. You're not some grasshopper. You're a child of the Most High God. Your dad is the king of the universe. And you could stand to increase your faith another teaspoonful, couldn't you? Just a little, a little more. Because what is it that you and God could do? To think about it. If God is your partner, you're the majority. It's you and God against, oh, well, you won. Because it's over. So I encourage you. I admonish you. I don't chastise you because I'm not chastising. I don't rebuke. I'm trying to instill in you, add another teaspoon of faith and take it up a notch. Because God is highly pleased with faith. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. For those who come to God must believe that he is and a rewarder of those that seek him. The answer to the question on what does good like medicine, a cheerful heart, a merry heart, does make like medicine. You're listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the Christian station. We're going to take a 23-hour break, then come back. More Insanity with Spoonanity. Talk to you then.
Destroying everyone and everything he finds.
The views expressed on the preceding program were those of the speakers and not necessarily those of KAAM, DJRD Broadcasting, or its sponsors.